Well, amen. Praise the Lord for, again, that special today. And I can't think of anything better than to do than to lift Jesus. And I praise the Lord for that special. And I trust all the music, again, this morning has been a help and a blessing. I believe it's glorified the Lord. And that's what we aim to do. And so I'm so thankful for those that prepare and pray about what they're going to sing. And I'm even thankful when the Lord ties it together with the message. And so praise the Lord for the music this morning that we've heard. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 8 this morning. Nehemiah chapter 8. And of course, the book of Nehemiah is a historical book. And Nehemiah is the author of this book. He is serving as the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes in Persia. But he's one of the children of Israel, so he's an Israelite living in Persia. And he writes this book to tell us, of course, of the book, the setting of the book is during the Babylonian captivity of Israel. And so that's what we're going to study this morning. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. If you found your place in your Bible, and if you're able to this morning, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Nehemiah has been sent by King Artaxerxes back to Israel and led the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. And at the end of that, we pick up in our reading here in verse 1. The Bible says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Uriah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah, on his right hand and on his left hand Padiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashpadanah, Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akib and Shabbathiah and Hodiah and Maaseiah and Kalita and Azariah, Jozabad, Hannah, Peliah, and the Levites." By the way, I got my workout in this morning. Sang all those names. Good night. "Caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and all the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." And verse 10 is our text this morning. "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And I want to preach a message this morning from those last few words there. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Dear Lord, as we come before you today, we are so grateful and thankful again to be in this place. We're thankful to have the opportunity to assemble, Lord, as a church family. And we're thankful that we have the Word of God that we can open up. And Lord, you can make this book. Lord, the Bible says it's alive. It's a living book. And so you can apply it to our hearts and our lives this morning. And I pray that you'd help me this morning to preach your Word. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit, Lord, that I could preach what you would have me to preach. Lord, I pray for each and every person that is gathered here today. Lord, I pray that as they come with a spirit of expectancy and, Lord, as they open up their heart to your word, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts today. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to get what we have need of, Lord. We love you so much and we thank you for your word. In your name I pray, Amen. And you can be seated. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That word joy, the Webster's defines it this way, the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. I tell you, as Christians, we ought to expect God to do good things in our lives. God to work through the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Scofield said this about joy. He said that joy is a result of salvation. When you get saved, God places His joy within you so that you may live the Christian life. The joy, the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. He says the joy of the Lord. True joy can only come from God. I tell you, there's a lot of sources of happiness out there today. There's a lot of places where people can go and find temporary happiness, but true joy that will take us through the valleys and through the difficulties of this life can only be found from God. So he says the joy of the Lord, that joy that only comes from God, is your strength, enabling you to endure anything that you would experience in this life with joy. Might I even say 6 months plus of a pandemic? That as Christians, this is not where we stop moving forward, because something, some great thing comes in our lives and it's something that stalls us from moving forward. No, God says you can still have the joy of the Lord in the midst of the trial. And I want to say this morning that it's God's desire that we live with joy today. If you're saved here today, listen, you ought to have the joy of the Lord on your face. We'll talk about this here in a little bit. Nehemiah, his countenance at one point in his life did not reflect the joy of the Lord. And so God desires that we live with joy. And it's God's enabling that'll help us to live with joy. You see, he desires that we have joy in our lives. And then he enables us to live with joy with that expectation of good. And so, of course, Nehemiah, God uses Nehemiah to write this book of Nehemiah. There are so many incredible lessons in the book of Nehemiah. There's lessons on leadership. There's lessons on unity. There's lessons on battling here in the book of Nehemiah. But can I tell you, I think one of the great themes that we find in this book is that we see God restore joy to his people. God give them their joy back. And of course, we find out as we read this book that the Israelites under difficult circumstances had their joy taken away from them. And you may be here this morning and you may have come here today and you may be dealing with difficult circumstances. Can I tell you that God still desires that you live with joy? And we come into this place and I understand, listen, life can be wearisome. We can go through a lot as we live this life, and the devil will do all he can to steal our joy. And God says, listen, I want you to live with joy. In fact, the joy of the Lord will strengthen you to be able to take you through those difficult days. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 1, if you would. Nehemiah chapter 1, we're going to study some of the background as we lead up to Nehemiah chapter 8. The Bible says in verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Nehemiah, as we already said, was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes in Persia. He's an Israelite living in Persia, serving under the king. That Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And so these men come from Jerusalem and they come to Nehemiah and he says, tell me how things are back at home. Give me the report of what's going on back in the homeland, because the Bible says there was a remnant of people that God left in the nation of Israel. And the Bible says in verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. The report from Israel is not good. Those that are living there in the province, they're under great affliction, under great reproach. They have no way to defend themselves because the city walls have been broken down through this Babylonian captivity. Those were the circumstances And notice the response in verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. Nehemiah normally had the joy of the Lord in his life. And yet upon hearing of the circumstances of his homeland, the difficulty that Israel was under, he lost his joy. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine, and I gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforetime sad in his presence. Normally, Nehemiah had the joy of the Lord in his life. He says, I had not been before time sad in the king's presence. Notice this, verse 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart, that I was very sore afraid. I find it's interesting that the king realized very quickly that Nehemiah didn't have the joy of the Lord. He said, why is your countenance sad? You know what that tells me? It tells me that as Christians, our countenance ought to reflect the joy of the Lord no matter what we're going through. That the world notices something different in our lives when we don't reflect the joy of the Lord. And so the king says, why is your countenance sad? He says in verse 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. He says, how can I but be sad in the midst of the circumstances that I'm dealing with? You see, the circumstances of Nehemiah's hometown took away his joy. Can I tell you this morning that we are to live with the joy of the Lord in our lives, but also want to remind you that there's an enemy out there? John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible calls our enemy the devil. It calls him the thief. The Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. As we live the Christian life, I want you to understand this morning, the devil has one goal in your life, to do whatever he can and to use whatever he can to take away the joy of the Lord in your life. And yet the Bible doesn't end there in that verse. Because I'm thankful that Jesus says, but I am come that they might have life, salvation first and foremost, and that they might have life more abundantly. That as we live this life, not only does God give us the salvation that sustains us and will take us to heaven one of these days, but he also gives us an abundant life. That's his joy as we live this life. Amen. You see, there's a dichotomy this morning that you have to understand. Jesus desires that you live with the joy of the Lord in your life. Jesus will enable you. He'll place that joy in your life. He places that joy in your life at salvation. And then from there on, it's a fight. Because the devil will do all he can, using anything he can, to rob you of your joy. The Bible says he will come to steal and to kill and to destroy. He'll use circumstances. As I already mentioned this morning, a pandemic. Has anybody ever experienced anything like this? This is something that the devil would use to try to steal the joy from Christians. He'll use trials in our lives. Any of you ever gone through a trial? I think that's something that all of us endure on a regular basis, and we understand that no matter whether we're saved or we're not saved, we're going to go through difficulties as we live this life. And so he'll use trials. He'll use sin and temptations in your life. The devil will use sin, and he'll put temptations out there as you're walking along the way in this Christian life designed to steal your joy. He'll use anything that he can. And yet, as God's children, as we study the life of Nehemiah, I'm thankful for one thing here in this passage. Because when Nehemiah recognized that his joy was gone, the Bible says Nehemiah returned to God, the giver of joy. Amen. And as we go through this life, no matter where we may find ourselves, we may come to this place this morning and we may find ourselves at a loss of joy as we live the Christian life. Can I tell you, God can restore your joy this morning? The Bible says in verse 4 of Nehemiah chapter 1, when I heard these words, he says, I sat down and I wept and mourned certain days. And then notice this, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Going to God, the only one who could restore joy. Chapter 2, verse 4. As Nehemiah gives this report to the king, then the king said to me, "For what dost thou make request?" Notice, Nehemiah probably had his own thoughts about what should take place. But the first thing he does here, he says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." I want God to direct my mind. I want God to direct my words. You see, as Nehemiah realized his joy was gone, he returned to God, the giver of joy. I think about David in the book of Psalms when he says, and upon his sin with Bathsheba, and he realized the joy of his salvation was gone. He begged the Lord to restore the joy of my salvation. And as we go through this life, listen, there are times when the devil will steal our joy. He'll use whatever he can. And when we go through those moments, may we look to God to restore that joy back to us. And here in the book of Nehemiah, through a miraculous set of circumstances, Nehemiah here, the simple cupbearer to the king. He's commissioned by the Persian king to return to Jerusalem. The Bible calls him the Tirshatha. That basically means that he was the Persian governor to Israel. He's commissioned by the king, sent with the backing of the Persian government to rebuild a city of Jerusalem. And we don't have time to study all of it there, but in 52 days, the Bible says that Nehemiah organizes the remnant of Jerusalem. Men that would not have been skillful in building, this may not have been their trade, but the Bible says they had a mind to work. And God unified them and brought them together so that they would completely repair and restore the broken down city walls. And it brings us up to chapter 8. And can I tell you, there in Nehemiah in chapter 8, there's excitement going on in the city of Jerusalem. There's unity there going on as the people come together as one man. You could say it this way, a national revival has broken out. And they invite Ezra and they say, "Ezra," he was the priest and he was the scribe, and he said, "Ezra, would you read to us the word of God, the law of the Lord?" And they brought him there and they set him up in front of them and they built a pulpit for him and they stood as he read the words of God. The Bible says for 6 hours. Some of you think sometimes the services here are long. 6 hours. And they would read, and they would explain what they were reading, and they would apply what they were reading, much like we would preach here. We would read the Word of God, and we would explain the Word of God, and then we would apply the Word of God to our lives. And the Bible says in verse 9 that the people wept when they heard the words of the law. The reason they wept is because they realized how much they had transgressed the law of the Lord. And then he says in verse 10, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet." He says, listen, enjoy the provisions that God has placed in your life. Enjoy the blessings. They were actually referencing the festival of, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And of course, if you study the history of the children of Israel, you'll find there's a lot of symbolism and there's a lot of feast of remembrance. And the Feast of Tabernacles, which is what they're talking about here, eat the fat and drink the sweet, was a feast meant to commemorate the time in which God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and took them into the Promised Land. It was meant to specifically signify God providing for his children. And he says, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and then send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared." So receive God's word, receive God's blessings, and then give God's blessings to other people. Minister to them. Receive what God has done for you in your life, and then minister to other people. Prepare or send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can I tell you, verse 10 is a great picture of how God desires us to live the Christian life. It's a great picture that we would receive God's blessings, that we would minister to other people, and that we would live with the joy of the Lord in our lives every day. And yet, let me ask you this question this morning. Have you lost your joy? Maybe it's been through a coronavirus. I mean, the circumstances have been a little strange recently, and so that could be used by the devil to steal our joy. Or maybe it's been something else this morning, and yet I want you to understand that God has given you the gift of joy so that you might live the Christian life. Amen. God doesn't expect you to endure difficulty alone. He doesn't expect you to go through this life just on your own, living and enduring through difficulty. And so as I read this passage, I want to point out three quick things to you about the joy of the Lord. Can I tell you, first of all, that we find there in verse 10 that true joy begins in a relationship with God. True joy begins in a relationship with God. He says there at the end of verse 10, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." I think we understand this morning, and we've already said this, but there's only one source of joy as I live this life. Again, people will look to a lot of different places to try to find happiness, and yet they might find temporary happiness. But the true joy of the Lord only comes from God. I want you to turn over to Psalm chapter 28 this morning. Psalm chapter 28. Stay with me as we go through this passage here this morning, understanding that as Christians, we're to live with the joy of the Lord in our life. Psalm chapter 28. David here is the author of this psalm. And he says this in verse 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Did you catch that? David says, listen, the Lord, he has been the strength that I would have need of in my life. He says this is my testimony, my heart trusted in him. You see, along the way, someone introduced David to the Lord God. Of course, we look back to the forefathers of Israel, those in his life who would have pointed him to God. But at some point, he was introduced to the God of Israel, and he said, my heart trusted in him. And what happened when he trusted in him? The Bible says he said, then I am helped. When I enter into a relationship with God, that's when I can have the help that God desires for me to have as I live this life. And he goes, when God helps me, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. David here talks about it. He says, listen, the Lord is my strength and my shield. I love that thought. You know what David was saying? He's saying, listen, the Lord is my offense and my defense. No matter what I go through, the Lord is there with me. And whether it's there to fight on offense or whether it's there to defend myself on defense, the Lord is my strength and my shield. He's everything that I would need him to be in my life so that when I go through difficulty, the Lord is there with me. How many of us have that testimony this morning? As you look back in your life, you've seen God go with you through some very difficult times. It started because you trusted in the Lord. And then as you trust the Lord, the Bible says that he helps you and he brings us through valleys. And what's our testimony as God brings us through those valleys on the other side? There's rejoicing. We look back and we see how God brought us from this point to this point because there was a relationship with God and we trusted in him and he helped us and then we rejoiced in that. You know what happens the next time we go through a difficulty? Our testimony. We look back and we see, well, before I trusted in God. And he helped me in the midst of that trial, and I rejoiced in that. So therefore, I understand and I have this expectation of good that God will work in the midst of this difficulty. And as I trust in him, that he will help me, and that as I come through this, I will rejoice. And so much so that life for the Christian becomes a series of God bringing us through difficulty. And as we go through that difficulty, we remember where he helped us in the past. And yet sometimes, can I tell you that as we find ourselves in the midst of difficulty, that the devil sometimes clouds our thinking. He might allow a great trial to come in our lives, trying to get us to forget about God's help in our life as we've gone through our past life. And yet, listen, can I tell you and help you to understand that as you go through difficulty, as you're a Christian, you can have the joy of the Lord and you will find that he will be with you in the midst of your difficulty so that when you come through that, you can look back and say, the Lord was with me the entire time. It's the joy of the Lord. We have that expectation as we go through difficulty. Remember, as Nehemiah spoke to the people, he said, listen, the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. What was he saying? He was saying, listen, you're going to go through more difficult days. You're going to go through more difficulty. You might go through similar difficulties that you've already been through, and yet you must remember in the midst of that difficulty, the Lord was with you there the whole time. And you can rejoice, and you can join that. And so I come to you this morning, and I want you to understand something. If you're saved today, no matter what you find yourself in, the joy of the Lord can strengthen you. And it may be that you need to look back in your life before today. And you might really remember some of the difficulties that the Lord has already brought you through, and how he walked you right through that valley, and how he helped you and he brought you a long life's way. And as you came through that, you looked back and you said, I have joy in my life because what the Lord has done in my life. And we might need to remember some things today. We might remember how the Lord has brought us through some difficult times. You see, I guarantee if you're saved today, that would be your testimony. That you've come through some difficulty. And that the Lord's brought you through those difficulties in the past. And can I tell you, if he's done it before, he'll do it again in our lives. He'll continue to lead us through those difficulties. When we place our trust in God, like David says, he becomes our strength and our shield. It starts with a relationship with God. As you look back in the book of Nehemiah, they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And they fortified the city, and can I tell you, that would have been a relief for those people there. They had some defenses set up, but those walls could be torn down again. But only God could truly give them the protection and the help that they would have need of. Only God could be their strength and their shield. We find out about joy, that true joy begins in a relationship with God. If you're saved today, you may find yourself in the midst of a valley, but God can bring you through that. God will walk through you, that valley with you. Secondly, here in this passage back in Nehemiah chapter 8, I want you to go back there. We find not only does true joy begin in a relationship with God, but secondly, true joy comes when I submit to his purpose. True joy comes when I submit to the purposes of God. We see there in verse 10, then he said unto them at the beginning of the verse, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. We already talked a little bit about that. Again, that signified God's hand of blessing upon the children of Israel. And then he says this, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. You see, God blesses us as we live the Christian life. And when God blesses us, it's not so that we can just retain those blessings and hoard those blessings. It's so that we can take what we've received from God and then invest in other people. That's God's purpose for us as we live the Christian life. So that we might receive what God has for us. As we come into church this morning, we're receiving the Word of God. We're hearing the music sung. We don't just receive that so that we can retain that and keep that all to ourselves. No, we receive that so that we can go and minister to other people. Can I tell you this morning that God didn't create you to be a consumer Christian. God didn't create you just to come in and sit. God didn't create us just to receive all the time the blessings of God in our life. And yet when we do that, there's something missing there. When all we do is receive and yet we never give back out, we miss out on the joy of the Lord in ministering to other people. I tell you, I think that's been a difficulty in the pandemic. I think that's been one of the hardships, at least for those that are Christians, that there's been a lack of opportunities to serve. Or at least, could I put it this way, serve in the way that we normally would serve. Because for the past 6 months, again, I don't ever remember a time in church life like this where really we had no other ministries except for the regular services. And many, this has been their testimony, I can't wait to get back to serving in my normal ministry. I can't wait to get back to those kids that I serve with. I can't wait to get back on the bus route and go bring those kids into church. I can't wait to get back in the choir and be able to sing and minister in that way. Why? Because we were saved to serve. We were saved to give out. I think about our staff at the beginning of the pandemic. I tell you, this church is normally a very busy church. normally there's all kinds of ministries going on here, and we're just able to get to each and every one of them and serve in those ministries. And yet all of a sudden, it was almost like the flipping of a switch. We shut down just about every ministry. And I know I can speak for myself, and I believe I can speak for the other staff, that there for a few days we're kind of wondering what's going on here. I sensed a loss of joy in my life because I'm not able to be involved in the things that I normally would be involved in. And I remember, of course, us meeting with Pastor and Pastor challenging us. And so we made a pivot and we started calling people. We started texting people, checking up on our church membership, started running errands for people that needed and taking food to people that needed food and trying to minister as best as we could. We moved to online Sunday school classes, online junior church classes, and all the glitches and all the things that are there, and, you know, people on mute and all those kind of things, and that's what we switched to. But I can tell you this, that the joy started returning very quickly. Because that's what God desires for us to do. And God has placed in our hearts and our lives the need to serve other people. And so we eat the fat. We drink the sweet. We enjoy the blessings that God routinely places in our lives. But if we don't give out, we miss out on that opportunity and that joy that it is to serve other people. And you may be here this morning and you may say, well, I've missed out on some of the joy in this life. Let me ask you this question. Are you ministering to other people? Are you serving other people or are you just receiving? You see, because I've also talked to people that have said this, and no one really checked in on me. No one really checked up on me. And my question to you this morning, don't wait for someone to check in on you. Go find someone to minister and to reach out to them and to call them and let them know that you're praying for them. And I'll guarantee you this, listen, you'll find the joy of the Lord in that. I've been so blessed so many times by making a phone call to someone and trying to minister to them. And in turn, they ministered to me. That's the joy of the Lord. And true joy comes, listen, when I realize or when I submit to his purpose of serving other people. So I encourage you this morning. If you're struggling in joy, find a way to invest in people. Find something to do. Pick up a phone. Go to someone. Say, hey, listen, I'm praying for you. Is there anything I can specifically pray with you about? Find a place of service. Find a place to serve the Lord, because the Bible says we can find joy in those things. And finally, this morning, very quickly, true joy we find here in this passage. True joy comes when I recognize that he is with me in all things. That I'll never go through anything without the presence of the Lord in my life. He says there in verse 10, he ends this passage, he says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." He says, I want you to know something, children of Israel. Israelites, that you won't go through anything without the Lord's presence in your life. And the Lord's presence will be that thing that helps to sustain you in the midst of difficulty. The joy of the Lord is your strength. No matter what you go through, he is with you. If we'll recognize that this morning, that it doesn't matter what valley we find ourselves in, if we'll recognize that the joy of the Lord is with me, he strengthens me, that I'm not going through this alone, well, that'll bring joy to our lives. The Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That applies to a pandemic. That applies to a health crisis. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That applies to a spiritual battle. That applies to a major trial, that the Lord is with us through whatever we find ourselves in. I've visited people in the hospital. As I stood in that room and began talking to them, it was very evident that while they were going through something major in that hospital bed, they had the joy of the Lord all over their face. Because they realized, listen, as I go into that surgery, or as I go through that treatment, I don't go alone. The joy of the Lord is with me. The Lord strengthens me and sustains me to go through that difficulty. We've had people call here and say, Brother Andy, when you come to the hospital, would you bring more tracts? I'm trying to witness to everyone that comes in my room, and I run out of tracts, and I need more gospel tracts so that I can give them to the doctors and the nurses. Why? Because they had the joy of the Lord in their lives, realizing this is God's purpose for me, and God is with me in these things. I think all of us have been to a funeral home, going to support a brother or sister in Christ who is laying to rest a loved one. And yes, there's sorrow there. There's difficulty there. But on more than one occasion, I can think of people who had the joy of the Lord in their life because they realized, well, I'm laying this person to rest, the Lord is with me. And the Lord is sustaining me through this difficulty. I watched a relative of mine several years ago. Through horrendous circumstances, her husband committing suicide, left her with a 3-year-old son and a 6-year-old son. And I watched her not only raise those children for God, but raise them with the joy of the Lord in her life. Because her perspective was this: even though every other earthly relationship may fail me, he never will. It's what enables us to go through difficulties. And I want you to understand this morning, listen, the joy of the Lord has been given to you to strengthen you and to sustain you through some very difficult periods of life. And he will never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. And yet there are times, because of the enemy, the devil, that he desires to use anything and everything he can to steal your joy. And I understand, listen, all of us would give that testimony. There have been times, and it may be even today, there have been times in my life that my joy has been taken from me, or I've allowed the devil to take it. I tell you, in those moments, we can look back to God, and he will restore that joy to us. This morning, may we understand that true joy begins in a relationship with God. True joy comes when I submit to his purpose, and true joy comes when I recognize that he is with me in all things. I ask you this question this morning. Do you have the joy of the Lord in your life? Or maybe that joy is gone right now. Or that joy is waning. Or maybe you might just need to come forward this morning and ask the Lord, Lord, would you strengthen my faith? Help me to be faithful to you as I know you are being faithful to me. As I'm in the midst of this difficulty or this valley or this trial, Lord, would you strengthen my faith in you. Because as Christians, we were meant to live with the joy of the Lord. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. The joy of the Lord in a difficult season will sustain you and strengthen you through the trial that you find yourself in. This morning, I don't know how God may have used the message in your life. I know that it's his desire that we have the joy of the Lord in our lives. So here in just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And whether there in your pew or here at the altar or even there in your home or in the gymnasium today, would you get down on your knees and ask for the Lord to give you the joy that he desires you to live with? As you find yourself in difficulty, Lord, please strengthen my faith so that I may retain the joy of the Lord as I go through this difficulty. Lord, as we come before you today, we're so thankful for who you are. Oh, we're thankful that not only did you save us, Lord, but you also desire to give us your joy so that we may live the Christian life with joy. And I pray that you'd help us now, Lord. I don't know how you may have used this message in our hearts and our lives, but Lord, I pray that we would make the decisions that are needed. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.